On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Evening all. Martin Bell show coming up. It's meant to be Bell and Sperling, but he's not here yet. So it's going to be the Martin Bell show with a little bit of Johnny Sperling in the car on the way here. Johnny Sperling is meant to be here for the Bell and Sperling show, but he's just got off the tarmac at Stansted and he's on his way here. Who knows what will happen? I'm going to get John on the phone and find out where he is. I'm going to add a little guitar and make it easy to move your feet. Told me he was in a taxi about 10 minutes ago on his way here. He's been in Spain working on an album. Not really. He's been sunning it up, I think. We're going to be talking about some great stuff coming up. Might be on my own, though. You might like to hear my organ. I sit right solid right now. Hurry up, John. If you've seen Johnny, you know he's not the quickest. Not easy getting through customs with him, I'll tell you. Especially after he's been in the luggage hold. I'm going to get him on the phone. We're going to find out where he is straight after this. Johnny Sperling, meant to be doing the Bell and Sperling show. Oh, Johnny Sperling, where is he? We're meant to be doing the Bell and Sperling show live tonight. We had a good show last week. I don't know if you heard it. It was great having John back in with me. We used to do a lot of shows together. We did the Capital Gold. Then we did a little bit of Talk Sport with Hawksby and Jacobs. And then we had a fantastic show at Love Sport for quite a period of time. And this is quite nice because we get to chat about the stuff that we want to chat. We dig out a few funny stories out of the newspapers and we'll have a little chat about that. And we'll have a little chat about music, lots about music, and a little bit about sport and a little bit of the local stuff as well. And sort of tell you how we feel about stuff. But it's a bit of a strange one. John's been in Spain. He's gone to Murcia. You see how I've done that? Murcia. He's gone there to work on an album with a band over in Spain, and he was landed at 4, okay? So he's meant to be here for 6, so he'd get running the door 5 to 6 as he used to at Love Sport, minute to go, sit down, where's me sausage roll, and then, you know, sort of steam into it, but he's I think he's a little bit delayed coming through customs. So I'm going to get him on the phone in a minute, find out. He's probably going to make it. He tells me he's going to make it by the end of the show. We'll have an update from Stansted to here to find out where he is as we go along. But it was a sad week. We were going to start off, we discussed the show last night, and we were going to start off with talking about Burt Bacharach and some of the songs that he'd written. Because, you know, he sadly died this week. He had a good innings, as they say. And what a great songwriter. Come out, one of those early days of songwriting, you know, sort of coming out of the, I suppose, the 40s and 50s, and they come away from the 50s, and there was, you know, we had the sort of the rock and roll days of those early days, but he wrote songs that was completely different. The melodies were completely different, and wrote for so many stars. And it just got me thinking about, there's not many songwriters, it was Hal David, they wrote so many songs for other people, and there were so many stars around them for them to sing the songs. And I'm looking at what the current crop is. Now, I always tell kids that if you want to be in the music industry, you need to write. You do need to write your own songs, you know, and it is a lot different now. In our day, you had to get into a recording studio, predominantly in London, which was expensive, and it was hard to do, to get your stuff, you know, recorded and get them to record companies. Now kids can record in their bedroom. There's such an easy setup. I was recording in a studio in Fulham on Sunday, a beautiful studio actually on the Fulham High Street, and a great automated desk. You know, if you don't know much about recording studios, but you see those big long recording desks, and you would see all these racks at the side, which are all different effects that you could add to vocals and guitar, all these delays and reverbs, you know, the sort of echo chambers and stuff like that. Well, kids have now got these in a computer. You know, people just go and spend thousands on this outboard stuff that you would use, you know, and some of those famous albums that you've all heard. But now it's called a plug-in. You've got a recording system in your computer. And in the old days, we'd have a 24-track recording desk, which meant you could record 24 different things, if you like. Each one, you see those lots of knobs with a fader. And that was one track, and the one next to it was exactly the same, and there was 24 of them. And then it went to 48-track desks. You see all these long mixing desks called SSL. And now everyone has got this in their computer. A kid can have this, you know, with a bit of software, and they just download a plug-in off the internet, and you've got all those reverbs and all those wonderful sounds. And so it has sort of diluted the whole recording industry in a way. And it has made it much more accessible for kids. However, I just noticed that there's not many stars around anymore, because there's so much output. There's so many people recording, so many people putting average stuff out there, that there's nothing that's that different. And when you look at the writers of the likes of Bacharach, they wrote amazing melodies, great lyrics, and they would find a great singer. This is in the days when you would have publishers. Publishers would find the writer, publishers would find the artist and put them together. They would find a backing band, they would promote the tour, they would put them out there, they would get them signed to a record company. The publisher dealt with everything. And now we don't have any of this, really. We don't have these great songwriters finding these artists. And there's no longevity. You look at a lot of the artists that, you know, like, I mean, people that covered Bacharach songs, you know, all still massive names that we remember today, the ones that are past and present. And I just don't know where we're going with the music industry. I just don't see longevity of a lot of these artists. I'm going to play this song because Johnny Sperling wanted us to cover this one at the start of it, because it was a bit more of a modern one from a Bacharach song. And it was also a great band from the 80s called Deacon Blue. And I just thought that this will be an ideal one to open up with from his catalogue.
What do you get when you fall in love? A girl with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a girl? You get enough terms to catch pneumonia. until tomorrow. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again.
What'd you get when you fall in love? What'd you get when you fall in love?
I'll never fall in love.
What a beautiful vocal, Deacon Blue, incredible. It's a Burt Bacharach song, and I love that band. They were just, there was something great. There were so many 80s bands that were brilliant, you know, with substance and great songwriting talent and balance in the band, good guitarist, good drummer, good bass player, good keyboard player, different singers. You know, Deacon Blue had the three of them, Ricky Ross, I think it was up the front there. And, you know, there's so many bands like that. We just don't see that anymore, do we? I can't think of anything at the moment. I just, there's nothing that, I'm really struggling with it. I'm really struggling with the music industry at the moment. There's nothing that's exciting me. You know, myself and Johnny Sperling spoke last week about the Grammys and saying, you know, what a massive star Beyonce is. I mean, that's, something doesn't connect with me with her. I don't know what it is. I just don't get it. Listen, I can hear people sort of saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's fantastic. But there's some people, you love the tone of their voice, the way they sing. And for me, I still say she's got a very fast vibrato. It's a bit Larry the Lamb. It's a bit like that, you know. And there's certain artists that I just don't connect with. And I'm trying to think of some that I do at the moment that I'm getting inside. Look, my daughter brought Billie Eilish to me when she was going to... She didn't bring her to me. I mean, you know, she didn't come around the house to have a cup of tea and stuff. But she started playing me this Billie Eilish when she was going to see her for like £2 or £3 a ticket at some little club. And I was like, there's something good about that. There's something different about it, something original. And they're writing their own songs and they're creating an image, you know, which is good. Which is why we spoke, myself and Johnny Spoon spoke about Harry Styles. Yes, at the moment, he is dressing up like your Auntie Edie. My Auntie Edie, who lived in Leon C, she used to wear exactly the same clothes as Harry Styles. I'm telling you, you remember the sort of 70s long collars with some like beads and some pearls? And a tank top. Auntie Edie used to wear a tank top. What's that all about? You know? Uncle Joe must have been looking at thinking, Auntie Edie, what are you doing? What are you doing wearing that? You know? Auntie Edie was funny. Got to tell you. Smoked a roll-up. Smoked a pipe. No, she didn't smoke a pipe. But she smoked with Owen Gamble, Gamble on the Horses, sit in that place in Leon C and pick the horses. Only pound. She'd bet a pound. Accumulator, I thought. That's about the maximum. No longer with us, Auntie Edie. But it does remind me. Every time I see Harry Styles, I think, Auntie Edie, she's still with us. Because Harry's wearing her clothes. But there's something good about him. He wants to be a star. He wants to be edgy. He wants to be different. There's something great about him. And that is what I always tell kids who are trying to get into the music industry and they're working on their own stuff. Do something that's completely different. It's a strange story that has spawned out of that. I was lucky enough to sign to Mickey Most when I was 19. I got a studio deal with him at Rack Studios. If you remember Mickey Most, he was the sort of Simon Cowell of his day. He's also no longer with us, but he was a massive music mogul. You know, he had Rack Records and all the artists like Hot Chocolate and Susie Quattro and The Sweet and artists like that, and made absolute fortunes because, like I said earlier, these people cleaned up. They cleaned up on the publishing, the royalties. They you know, they put these acts together and they made millions and millions and millions. And he quite liked my voice and he quite liked our band. We were writing different songs and we went in with sort of quite pop songs, I suppose, at the start. And he said, well, you got something. And then one day he said to me, it's a strange way, he said, I need you to do something completely out of the park. He said, something completely different. So I said, I'm 19, 20-year-old kid from Chigwell. How is my life going to be different? And he said, I want you to write something out there. He said, I want you write about suicide. He said, kids love suicide. I thought, what? Went home and told me mum and dad, they went, you're not going back there. You're not going back to see him. But you know what I did? I didn't write about suicide. I went away and I wrote a few songs that were totally out of my comfort zone. Lyrics that were just wrong. Everything was jumbled. Everything was very edgy. The sound was edgy. And it gave me inspiration to do something different. And once we went back in, we played in these two tracks. And he went, now you're getting it. Now you know. You're not there yet, but you just now you're going for something that's completely different because we've got loads of you. There's loads of you on the radio. We want something completely different. Somebody sent me a track the other day. My cousin sent me a video of a guy singing, and he said, "Have a listen to this. Can you do anything for him?" And it was him and his mates. He's singing a sort of old Sam Cooke track, and yeah. Sounded good, sounded all right, you know, nice sort of husky voice. I mean, but there's thousands of those. When you go to a record company and go, yeah, I've heard it all before, you've got to have something different, and then you've got to go in with an image that's different, you know, and you've got to be writing your own songs, you've got to be doing stuff. I'm going to play another Burt Bacharach track because a good mate of mine, or my best mate, actually loves this song, and this is completely different. I mean, this, what a wonderful song. This is, and especially as we've just had Valentine's night. How was Valentine's night for you, by the way? How was it? Was it everyone everyone happy? I was working. I was gigging. I ended up doing two gigs. And then I saw some people in the audience that I thought are just not having this. They're not listening. And in the interval, I actually messaged my man. I said, there's so many couples here. It's like everyone wants to go home. I always say, you go out on Valentine's night, you have a couple of glasses of wine, it all starts nice, and then one, either you or the missus goes, you looking at her over there? And then suddenly there's a punch up. I'm not looking at her. Just looking across your shoulder. She just happens to walk past at the time. Because if you go out to a restaurant, it's all couples, okay? And you can bet your life someone's going to spot somebody and go, look at her. Or she's going to go, look at him, he's a bit nice, isn't he? So it always ends up in a punch-up. Or by the time you've got home, you've had a massive row. But the other night, I was doing this gig, and I messaged my friend, and I said, this is shocking. I just want to get home. These people want to get home. They don't want a beer. They don't want to be spending their money out here. And then right at the end, I'd finished. I thought, I'd get myself a nice little drink. And this couple come over and said, listen, would you mind just doing another half hour of some of those songs, you know, some of the Marvin Gaye and the Elton John ones? And there's a nice little drink in your pocket. And it was quite a tidy drink. And I felt really bad because I'd been slagging these people up saying they don't appear. But obviously this couple were very much in love. And I thought, do you know what? This is an ideal song for them. going to be honest, I think it was the instrumental. This guy's in love. I think we played the instrumental. It was all of us in there. Oh, I really want to cover it. If I can find by the end of it, if I can find the original vocal. But do you know what? I sort of 30 seconds into it, I thought, this sounds like the instrumental. There's no vocal. But it was so nice and relaxing. It was so wonderful. I just run with it. It's a strange one. I'm going to play some more Burt Bacharach songs. Johnny Sperling was meant to be here to do the Ben and Sperling show. He landed at Stansted. I've just tried to get him on the phone to see where he is. He was breaking up. He's on the way here. I think he's going to get here before the end of the show. I can't believe it. I think he's actually going to make it. He was struggling getting through customs. He's got one of those passports that won't work when he puts his hand on that strange thing and the camera moves up and down and doesn't recognise him and then they think he's a terrorist. So I... whether he makes it or not, I'm not sure, but we'll definitely be here for the Ben Sperling show for next Thursday and we'll discuss a lot of stuff. There's a couple of bits and pieces, like Raquel Welch died yesterday, 82 years of age, the most beautiful woman in the world at one point. And I would say there was photos of her... Listen, there's photos of everybody that looks terrible when they go to the supermarket. But even 15 years ago, yeah, just look at her and think, oh, my God, she still looks stunning. Her face looks amazing, you know. And like I was saying earlier about the stars, there's going to be a point at some point in our, you know, my generation, if you like. I'm only 26. but there's going to be a point where we're just going to go, where's the big stars gone? Everyone's gone. You know, just looking that a new Doctor Who is coming out. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I never liked Doctor Who. Anyone like Doctor? It used to come on Saturday, didn't it? Do you remember? It was sort of after the results, after the football results, and, you know, and that music. And it was horrible, and there was that black tunnel that it went down. I hated it. I really couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand Daleks and stuff like that. I'm a Dalek. I couldn't. That was quite good, wasn't it? I'm a Dalek. And I can't believe I've done that. I'm quite impressed with myself, if I'm honest. Hurt me throat a little bit. But I never liked Doctor Who. And there's always been this great thing about Doctor Who. And so there's a big article about the new Doctor Who, and they've got the TARDIS back, and they've got all this sorts of stuff. And I'm thinking, my kids don't watch telly. They don't go nowhere near a telly. In fact, my daughter comes down in the evening to watch Love Island. I mean, seriously, what a pile. Love Island. What a load of disgustoids running around. It's just, I think he said, I can't like him. But you said that to him. Yeah, but I want to get to know somebody else. Yeah, but I like you. But do you like me? What a load of rubbish. But you get sucked in, don't you? You get sucked in. And I said, do you know what? I said it. Do you remember when Big Brother first came on? And we went, what is this? What, we're watching a load of people living in a house. And we just went, well, what's the point? What's the point? And we watched the first night. We went, leave that alone. Two and three nights later, four nights later, going, go on then, I'll have another go. And then suddenly you got into the characters. Do you remember there was Nasty Nick? Nasty Nick and Craig. Craig from up north. Do you know, myself and Johnny Sperling did a few gigs with Craig. It's quite a funny story, actually. We played in a celebrity soccer six tournament at... we did a few. We did Chelsea, and then we did Newcastle Stadium. We did Anfield and Upton Park. And then this time, I think, was at Everton. And there was always an after party, and there would be Westlife and Blue and Ant and Deck and people like that. And there would be a scattering of celebrities and, you know, people off of Hollyoaks or EastEnders or whatever, and myself, Johnny Sperling, which has had a couple of hit records, the Sven song and Golden Balls, and we were thrown into the mix of it, and we quite enjoyed it. But I do remember Craig sort of befriending us and going, oh, yeah, I love your songs. And he was with us for about 2 hours at the after party, and then suddenly Brian McFadden turned up, and Craig just left us. He just dropped us. And he ended up with Brian. Yeah, he just dropped Ben Sperling like a wet rag. Just run off. And that was it. he was with Brian for the rest of the night. And it always strikes me strange, that one. But going back to that Big Brother situation, he was a big name at that time that came out of that whole sort of reality show. It was the first of its kind, and there was Nasty Nick. And I had a similar situation. These TV shows suddenly started popping up everywhere, sort of reality. And then we started going, oh, who do you think you are? Big Brother. Like, as if we're putting Big Brother up on this pedestal. Like, it's amazing television. And I had the same situation years ago with Kylie Minogue. I know you're going to want to hear this now. But Kylie Minogue, I remember sort of being in Neighbours and going, yeah, this is the curly-haired little girl. And, yeah, she's all right. And suddenly, here she goes. Here we go. She's doing the Locomotion with Stock Aitken and Waltman. She does the Locomotion. Everybody's doing that. And I said, what's she doing? She's on TV. She's an actor. What's she got involved in our business for? We're all trying to get in the charts, and someone pops up from the TV and starts nicking your spot in the charts. It's not fair. And then after about three or four singles, she's had a few hits, and you sort of ignore her a bit. You know, you just sort of, well, you don't ignore, but you start taking it for granted, like you started taking Big Brother for granted. It's in your face. And then suddenly, there's this other girl pops up called Sonia, right, with the little puffed up cheeks. She sings a song, and I said, well, hang on a minute. What's gone on here? Who's this? Who does she think she is? Kylie Minogue? And I had to stop myself. What am I doing? I'm now putting Kylie Minogue up on a pedestal. And it's exactly what I did with Big Brother. Because I've always said, if you put something in someone's face long enough, if you just keep drumming it into them, they will believe it. You know? And then you accept it as the norm. And it's not the norm. Andy Williams singing Raindrops Keep Falling on Your Head by Burt Bacharach is the norm.
Keep falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops keep falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way things done, sleeping on the job. Those raindrops keep falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. Up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Thank you.
Andy Williams there, doing a bit of Burt Bacharach. Raindrops Come Falling on My Head. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's so many great songs, and that's why I'm playing some of these today, because great melodies. And there's a great article in the paper at the moment about Got the Blues. If you're down, play some songs that make you happy. You know, I'm going to give you the top 10 in a minute. I'm going to pull them out. But as I said, it was a Berlin Sperling show tonight. And Johnny Sperling has been in Spain and he had landed and he's on his way here now. I'm just going to try and get John on the phone to find out and see if we can pick him up. John, whereabouts are you?
I'll tell you where I am, son. Where am I, Mr. Uber driver? Where are we?
A12.
That's the H. That's whereabouts of the H.
How far, John?
You are. How far are we from Brentwood? Do you know? I'm not going to make it back there, Bill.
You're joking.
No, I was an hour circling up in the sky.
Was you the pilot?
I was the pilot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the pilot. And
where did you land? In Aberdeen or something?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. Sorry.
Where did you land? In Aberdeen?
Aberdeen, yeah. Oh, it's lovely up there.
We've actually got to go there to do the Farage show. So Johnny Sperling was actually meant to be here for this show at 6 o'clock. Hang on, John, are you sure you're definitely not going to make it? You've got another 20 minutes.
No. I'll get there and you'll just be coming home.
Well, let's do it.
There'll be no point to that. What's your favourite music, my friend? Mr. Uber driver, you're live on Phoenix FM.
No swearing.
No swearing.
Anything really?
Go on, give us a clue. Anything's a little bit vague.
Well, I'm mainly listening to Capital and...
Capital?
Stop it.
What music? We don't listen to Capital.
Does he like George Benson?
Do you like George Benson?
Never heard of him.
What do you mean you've never heard of him? You've never heard of George Benson?
All right. Does he like George Michael?
What about George Michael?
Yeah.
You do. You know who he is, don't you?
Has he ever picked him up?
Have you ever picked him up? No, don't answer that. wake me up before you go. What you got, George Michael?
I don't think that's going to work for George.
You ain't got a George?
I've got a George. John, I'm going to play a George track. It's one of my favourites, actually. It's one where he...
Let me introduce it. What is it?
Okay, well, it's up to you. We've got One More Try, which is my favourite ballad of George's.
Ah, that's your favourite, that is.
Or we've got Going to a Town, which is what he recorded just before he died.
Well, the last one's a little bit morbid. But I'll tell you what. This is George Michael with One More Try.
Beautiful. What a lovely handover. See if you can get back in time, John.
Try, mate.
Streets.
Michael, unbelievable vocal. My favourite George song of all time is one of those that, you know, it's strange. I base a lot of my vocal influence, was influenced from George, and that's one song I wouldn't touch. I tend to not go near it. It sings so pure, and it's really, there's certain songs of his that I just wouldn't go and sing. It's odd because it the tone of his voice in it is wonderful, and I know that, I'm sure if he was still around, he'd probably take it down a key or two because he was so up there. And we also tend to lose a tone or so as we get a bit older, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful song, and he's very much missed. And do you know what? As I was playing it, I know that I sort of said about these happy songs, and if you've got the blues at the moment, listen, we've got so much to be upset about and worried about, you know, with you know, the cost of everything going through the roof, the mortgages are about to ping off the scow, and everyone's up against it. Although in saying that, inflation, there's a little bit of a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here. Inflation has come down slightly, but at the same time, the gas and electric mob are still making ridiculous amounts of profits. The oil giants are through the roof, but we seem to be still paying the same amount for a petrol, if not more. We're paying, obviously, ridiculous amount for your bills. I think I said this last week, by the way. Try this out. I got... Everyone's bill went through the roof, right? Okay. And I they came on, and we talk to a bot now, don't we? We talk to a radio bot. We don't. It's very, very rare that we have a... We have a conversation with anybody on the phone. Everything is automated, but you might get someone the other side of the world that you can have a conversation with on one of these chat things. So I was chatting away, and they said, "Look, your direct debit for gas and electric is going to go up another whatever it was, £200 a month." And I was like, "No, sorry, no, I'm not having it." And so they came back and they said, "I said no. I said I just can't afford it." And they said, "What?" I said, "What? You know, I've got outgoings that could feed a small country. So, you know, I'm not paying anymore." And so they come out and say, "Well, look, we reduce it to 175. So I said, "No, I still can't. No, no." And so they said, "Well, okay." And they came out. Literally, it was about, give him about 5 minutes. She obviously gone off to talk to a manager. Okay, we're going to reduce it right down to 100. And I said, "I'm telling you now." I said, you're really doing me in. I mean, I'm so stressed. I am. It's really worrying me. And they said, "What can you afford?" And I said, "I can afford what I'm paying." And they come back. They went, "Yeah, fine." I'm telling you. Tell them. You really don't care. Tell them that you're not having it. You can't tell them it's worrying you. The moment you tell them they're worrying you, you know, you're upsetting me. You're upsetting me. I don't know what to do with myself. They will back down. I'm telling you. Well, it's happened for me. We used to do quite a lot of gigs with Bernard Manning, if you remember Bernard Manning. I know a lot of people didn't like Bernard, but I genuinely was a lovely, lovely man behind the scenes. We had some wonderful nights with him, and he was lovely to everybody. Don't be mistaken by a lot of the gags and stuff, but he was he genuinely was a lovely man, and he had a lot of time for everybody. I introduced him to so many people after gigs, and he had time. There was a gag that came up on my... I'm sure that the... See, everyone's worried about what I'm going to say about Bernard Manning one, but there was some gags come up that he'd done that was never blue, never racist, never... You get a chance, go on YouTube, and if you want to make yourself happy, go and grab us a couple of those, a couple of Mike Reed gags, a couple of Bernard gags. You know, go for the ones that you can play your kids. Nothing was swearing in it. Come with a couple of those, because there is some genuinely great ones. You know, the one that he sort of said, a black bloke who had stinky feet. He said his feet were stinking. He said he was marrying a woman who had terrible breath. Her breath was terrible. And he said, and we got married. He said, and they get married on the first night. He said, I thought, well, you know what I mean, I'll tell her I've got stinky feet. He said, and so getting into bed, he said, he threw his socks in the bathroom. He got into bed and he said, "Now look, there's something I've got to tell you." And she said, no, there's something I've got to tell you. And he said, "No, I know what you're going to tell me. You've eaten me socks." It's a great gag. It's clean, you know, and you can tell your kids that one. Sometimes I tell my son some of these gags. He's 14. He just stares at me. Because kids, they don't get jokes anymore, do they? When do kids get jokes? Like I said to you, kids don't watch television. The new Doctor Who is coming out. They're not going to watch that. I don't even know Doctor Who is. My daughter's 18 now. My son's 14. It's not a clue. Not a clue, living in a different world. TikTokers and Instagrammers. I'm on Instagram. If you want to get me on my Instagram, by the way, it's some great stuff that myself and Sperling have done recently. We are doing the Nigel Farage show. We are doing the tour with him, where we are writing songs about the news and covering the news. And it's quite funny, us appearing. We appeared in Luton last week, live on TV with Farage. It's very funny. But yeah, I mean, my kids they don't even watch me on telly. That's embarrassing. Why would you do that? It's not the case of, well, I suppose it is that their dad's on telly, but the fact of they've got to go and tell their mates that they watch television. Like, what? But you can get those clips on my Instagram, Martin Bell Music. Go on, Martin Bell Music, B-double-L Music. And you get some good clips of me and Johnny last week, actually. Some funny ones. Some of the other bits I was just talking about. No bobbies on the beat. There's 1 in 4 bobbies are never on the beat. Have you heard this story? What's happened? Kids are not frightened of the police. I don't mean to be frightened of the police, but you know what I'm saying. There's no police around. And in our day, I remember skateboarding around there was a council estate called Limes Farm Council Estate. Sort of, the bottom half was in Hainault and the top half was in Chigwell. So the ones that lived in Chigwell thought they were really posh and they lived in the same house as the people in Hainault. I mean, they all went to the same school. We went to Limes Farm Junior School. So it's like, you know, it didn't really matter. But we used to skateboard in that sort of period of time. I think it was around about 77, wasn't it? 70 skateboards were kicking around, 77, 78. And I remember a police car. They obviously complained in this road that we were all skateboarding and we're piling through people's gardens and crashing into their flowers and stuff. And I remember a police car coming around. It was the old Rover 3500. And literally, there's 15 kids just stood still. He was scared. The police car had come in. Blue lights flashing. And I remember him winding the window down and we all crowded round the window. He didn't even get out of the car. They had such authority. And I think somebody said, bloody. Bloody hell. And he went, What did you say? He said, come step forward. And we were oh, what's going to happen? And you were so scared of the police. Because they had authority, and if you'd done something wrong, there was a consequence. Now, nothing. No consequence anymore. You know, you get away with whatever you want. And it's such a shame. Listen, we started off talking about Burt Bacharach, and we haven't got too much time left. Straight after this, John Chubb is coming up with the non-league hour. So I wanted to play one more Burt song, because, like I said, one of the greatest songwriters, just an amazing man for melody. You know, you just listen to the melodies and the amount of artists that they wrote for with Hal David. It really is it's something else. So I'm going to play this song as the last one for us tonight. Should have played the Dionne Warwick version. Everything I've loaded up tonight has been the backing track. Let's just give a little bit of Dionne while we got time. Here we go.
that there's just too little of what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. Our cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know.
A bit better than the backing track, wasn't it? Dionne Warwick. The Burt Bacharach. So we obviously talked about Burt and some of the melodies that he wrote and the artists that he wrote for with Hal David, and, you know, what a career. And just like we were saying earlier, there's not the songwriters that are around like that anymore, that just, you know, where the publishers used to go and find the songwriter, they would find the artist, team them up, and then build an artist, and you know, sort of, you know, used to have record companies in, you know, these were the days when I used to go and see a guy called Brian Morrison, and I signed to him very early. It was Morrison and Leahy who published the likes of George Michael and The Jam and people like that, and had a massive back catalogue of songs. Dick's no longer with us, but huge stars in our industry. I went to see Brian Morrison once, and his office was number one Star Street. And I went in, I was quite a nervous kid, and I went in and he had a cigar about a foot long. I'm going to make you a star. And, you know, they were great people then. They were the ones that did, you know, they put a bit of money where their mouth is and put a bit of money into artists and developed them into songwriters and artists. And I don't think we really have that anymore. It's very sad, very sad. Coming up straight after this is John Chubb with the Non-League Hour. Johnny Sperling never made it to the show. So it's a bit of a shame. So we are going to be back next week for the Bell and Sperling Show, which we will do on Thursday, and something to look forward to. I shall see you next Thursday with the Bell and Sperling Show, and we'll be talking about different things out of the newspaper, and we'll cover a little bit of music, and we'll cover a little bit of sport. Look forward to it. See you then.